Good morning, everybody. Shmuel Plasser coming at you live from my house. Introduction to Talmud 101. Basic Talmud. We're studying Tainus, the very enjoyable tractate regarding fasting, regarding certain prayers. There's going to be a lot of Agadata. It's going to just be a great, great journey. I'm looking forward to taking it with you. We are Goffman Synagogue School of Jewish Studies, and you are able to get through and listen to me through the magic of modern electronics, modern science, and sheerenjoyment.com. That's where all these classes are recorded and stored. So if ever you want to make up a class and go back into the past and listen to something, I'm hoping and praying you'll be able to find my materials stored over there somewhere, archived on the website sheerenjoyment, S-H-I-U-R, enjoyment.com. Okay, we're on 3A, and we stopped kind of in the middle on Wednesday, and we're exploring a little bit of a confusing little mini sugya. We're going to do a little brief review right now to catch ourselves up, and then we're going to move forward, and then we'll wrap it up. It won't be the longest class today in the world, but it'll be something, and we're going to move the needle a little bit down the page, which is really all we endeavor to do every single share. We try to move and see fresh material every time. That's always our hope. I'm feeling a certain high. We just came from helping make a minyan at the Lubavitch Yeshiva down on Section Road here in Cincinnati, if you know the geography. While I don't share all the Lubavitch beliefs about their late rabbi, I do very much applaud their wonderful selfless work for Jewish people throughout the world. And as we travel to and from Cincinnati to New York, we stop off in Baltimore. And even before then, we pass through Morgantown, West Virginia. And believe it or not, there's a Chabad Shliach on the campus of West Virginia University. I don't know how many Jewish kids there are in West Virginia University. It's really not the most popular of all college campuses for Jewish students. But there's a Shliach right there in the very heart of the campus. It's really amazing. The selflessness, the devotion to fellow Jew is laudable, and I think it should be emulated by all of us, and I'm going to try my best to live my life more in accordance with that. Just loving every Jew, increasing my Ahavas Yisrael. I think after Tisha B'Av, especially all the craziness and horror of this past year, the atrocity in Israel on Shmini Atzeret, and then followed by 10 months of nonstop war, and then being condemned for self-defense because now we're genocidal because we want to wipe out every Palestinian. When the state of Israel handed back Gaza 20 years ago, and just decided we're not going to have it anymore. Here, it's now yours. And the Hamas Nazis turned it into a haven for terror. Don't get me started. Don't blame Israel when they have to hit back and kill Nazis. That's just what you got to do. And if Nazis are going to hide in tunnels and they're going to hide under schools and hide behind diapers and skirts, that's what you're going to have to do. Unfortunately, nobody said this was easy or a good thing, but self-defense is it's got to be allowed. Otherwise, we'll never get out of this. We'll always constantly be getting killed. That's what the world wants. The world, like the book says, the world likes dead Jews. The world likes Jews who don't complain. They know their place. They got to get killed and don't complain about it and just be a victim forevermore. That's not how the state of Israel understands this world anymore. They don't let them look at it like that. They fight back and they fight back hard. And the world can't stand it. The world hates it when Jews defend themselves. That's what I've learned. The world hates it. And I say, keep on hating. Keep on hating me. Sony Israel, we're going to keep on defending ourselves. Okay, Tainus 3A, and we're going to do a brief review. I'll keep it in English, and in this way we'll just kind of get hopefully some coherence. If you have any questions, by all means, always chirp up. Let's hear from you. Raise your hand. Speak up, and let's hear your questions and your concerns. Yeah, we're doing great. So here we go. You'll recall that the Talmud here in Tainus has been trying to figure out when do we start saying, Mashiv Aruch Amorde Geshem, you make the wind blow, you make the rain fall. That is a four-word declaration of fact. But for the rabbis, it's more than just that. It becomes a whole question, when do we start saying it? We do not say it throughout the year, even though one rabbi thinks that we should. Rabbi Eliezer is of the opinion that maybe we should say it throughout the year. Because after all, it's merely a declaration of fact. That's what God does. God does make the wind blow. He does make the rain fall. But we're talking about Israel. And in Israel, if you've been there, you know that there's the rainy season, which is basically after Sukkot. And it goes all the way through until Pesach time. And then from Pesach until Sukkot, it's very sunny and beautiful. That's just how the weather is in Israel. It's basically a two-season country. That's probably true for most countries in the Middle East. You have a rainier, colder season, and you have a nice warm season. That's not true in North America, but it's very true in Israel. So in Israel, if you've got the situation of two seasons, so the question becomes, when precisely should we start saying that God makes the rain fall? Because after all, we know that we need rain, and we want rain, and it's going to fall in the rainy season. The question is, when do we declare that? And if we do declare it as a statement of fact, is that considered a plea, a request for rain? And the rabbis tumbled about that on pages 2a and 2b. Is it indeed a request for rain, or is it simply declaring that God has power? Either way you can look at it, it's legitimate, but at the end of the day, we got to still figure out when we say Mashivrocha Morita Gesha. Okay, now we're going to take a look at the following. Let me read you this from Art Scroll. Several opinions were recorded above, back on 2b, on the question of when we begin to say Mashivaruch. You make the wind blow, you make the rain fall. Okay, when I say Mashivaruch, think those words in English. You make the wind blow, you make the rain fall. I'll just encapsulate it in two words in Hebrew. Mashivaruch. Okay? The Talmud now quotes a Mishnah, it's going to be in Sukkah, and it seeks to ascertain which of these opinions it follows. The question is, there's a Mishnah floating around in Sukkah, a different tractate. Now, who authored that Mishnah? Because it's going to have some relevance to our discussion. So the question is, who among the four rabbis, Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Shua ben Beseira and Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yehoshua, which of these four who are weighing in and telling us when they think we should say Marshi Baruch, is any one of them the author of the Mishnah and Sukkah, which also has a relevant and a line of relationship to what we're talking about. So let's take a look at that Mishnah in Sukkah, and then let's try to figure out, if we can, who among our four rabbis could have been the author of that Mishnah in Sukkah. Okay, so let me keep it in English. But that which we learned in the Mishnah in Sukkah, quote, the water libation service is performed on all 7 days. The Nisach HaMayim, the pouring of the water on the altar. Was that the same as Simchas Beis HaShoeva? I don't think so. But it's a special ritual of pouring water on the altar. So I think that was done every day, maybe in the morning. And then at night they would celebrate with enormous partying in ancient times. The rabbis famously say that if you never saw a Simchas Beis HaShoeva party in the temple, you never saw joy in your whole life. That's really amazing. So there would be this ritual of pouring water on the altar. And so the Mishnah in Sukkah says, quote, the pouring of the water on the altar, the water libation service is performed Kol Shiva all 7 days. Doesn't that make you think that Kol Shiva means all the days of Sukkot? Because Sukkot is 7 days. Then there's another day. It's called Shmini Atzeres. That's the eighth day. But it's really a standalone holiday. It's attached to Sukkot. It's true. You're right. It is. But it's its own holiday. It has its own thing. You don't lift up Lulav and Esrog on Shmini Atzeres. It's done. Okay? There's no hakafas around the bima on Shmini Atzeres. You don't technically have to sit in the sukkah on Shmini Atzeres. The fact that we do, we have a tradition that we do, and I think some don't, but we do, Ashkenazi Jews generally do, they follow the Talmud Bavli. But if you were to not sit in the sukkah on Shmini Atzeres, I'm not sure what you would be liable for, because it's its own standalone holiday. At all events, I'm just letting you know that because we have an extra day in the Galut, in the Diaspora, and you've got Shmini Atzeres on day one and Simchas Torah on day two. Meanwhile, it's really all in one the same. And Israel's collapsed into one day, as we've always said. So in the United States, we sit in the sukkah on Shmini Atzeres, and then we say goodbye. We bid goodbye to the sukkah at the end of, you know, as Shmini Atzeres day one is ebbing away, and then comes Simchas Torah, and nobody sits in the sukkah on Simchas Torah because that's by this time it's not even the holiday in Israel anymore. They've concluded the holiday. For us, we get one more day. But to think that we got to sit in a sukkah when it's really truly well beyond sukkahs, nobody does that. So here we go. The water libation service is performed on all 7 days. That's what it says in sukkah, in the tractate called sukkah. Doesn't that make you think that it means all 7 days of sukkahs? That's what it makes me think when I read it in the tractate sukkah, quote, the water libation service is performed on all 7 days. So your immediate reaction is, oh, okay. On all 7 days, that means all 7 days of sukkahs. Don't think that necessarily. Don't come to that assumption. Although it's a fair assumption to make, I don't think it's going to be justified during the course of our discussion. You'll see why. But even though, again, so getting back, even though you think that those words, all 7 days, you do the water libation service and it applies to 7 days of sukkahs, not so fast. Don't be wedded to that. All I'm saying is don't be wedded to that. Keep an open mind. We continue. Whose opinion is reflected in that ruling? Among the four rabbis that we know of here in Tinus, and I mentioned them 5 minutes ago, Rabbis Eliezer, Joshua, Akiva, and Yehuda ben Becerra, who could have been the author of that Mishnah out there in Sukkah? 7 days, you do the libation service. If you follow the view of Rabbi Yehoshua, what did he say? And we know what he said here in Tinus. He ruled that we begin to mention rain, that we say Mashiv HaRuach, on the eighth day. That's how he feels. He wants you to start saying that declaration of fact when you are in the parsha, when you're in the chapter of needing rain. And nobody wants rain on day one of Sukkot. You want rain following day eight. I want the rain to start coming down, the farmers say, as soon as Shmini Atzeres is concluded. And I don't care if the people have difficulty traveling back where they got to go and there's mud in the streets. They need the rain. So, according to Rabbi Yehoshua, you start saying the Mashiv HaRuach prayer when you actually need Mashiv HaRuach, when you need the rain to start coming down. So you say the prayer on the holy day of Shmini Atzeres, and you pray to God with a full congregation, because everybody's there, and the rabbis instituted the Yahrzeit to be said also in Shmini Atzeres, so it shouldn't be a forgotten holiday. And so everybody's in the shul, and we pray, and we make a declaration of rain. Which is, says Rabbi Yehoshua, that's when you say that prayer. Okay, that's Rabbi Joshua. That's what he says. Now, the question is, if you're going to say that the Mishnah in Sukkah, which says that you do the water libation all 7 days, well, then the Mishnah should have said that the water libation service is performed on only one day, which is the eighth day. Because remember, we were talking under the impression, and we still kind of are under the impression, that the rabbis are wedding themselves. They are, thank you, they are marrying themselves to this two-pronged idea. When do you start saying Mashiv HaRuach Morid HaGeshem? It all depends upon, you mentioned rain on the eighth day, Shmini Atzeres, and so the water libation service. These two concepts are wedded in our heads. They're wedded in the minds of the four rabbis. Such that if Rabbi Yehoshua feels that you should start saying Mashiv HaRuach on Shmini Atzeres on the eighth day, well, then if that's the case, and if you're wedding these two rituals, the two rituals being the water libation service and the declaration of Mashiv HaRuach, if there's a very tight relationship between them, and we think that there is such a thing, and we think that the rabbis feel that there's such a thing, so then Rabbi Yehoshua would tell you, I want you to say Mashiv HaRuach on day number eight, because that's when I want the rain to start falling after the holiday. Well, Rabbi Yeshua, if that's true for you, if you want us to start saying Masha Baruch on day number 8, so then you probably feel that the ritual of the water libation is also going to be on day number 8, because these things are wedded. You feel that if one is on day 8, therefore the other one is on day 8. So if we have Rabbi Yeshua explicitly saying that you got to start doing the Masha Baruch prayer on day 8, then he probably feels that's when you start, that's the only day that you do the water libation service. That's the assumption that we have. And if it's Rabbi Akiva, who derived from scripture that the water libation service starts on the 6th day, well, then do the math. If Rabbi Akiva is of the opinion that you start, that the water libation service is on the, it starts on the 6th day, then the Mishnah in Sukkah, if he's the author of that Mishnah, then you would argue that the water libation, that the Mishnah should have said that the water libation service is performed for 2 days, on days 6 and 7, okay? But it doesn't say that in the Mishnah. Our Mishnah in Sukkah says 7 days. You do the water libation service 7 days. But if Rabbi Akiva feels that the water libation service is only starting on the 6th day, so then how can he be the author of the Mishnah, which says you do the water libation 7 days? And he's saying, oh, you start saying it, you start doing the libation service on day 6. See, you've already lost 5 days out of the 7 necessary days that the Mishnah said. So how could Rabbi Akiva be the author of that Mishnah? Very unlikely. And remember also for Rabbi Yeshua, the Mishnah should have said you only perform the water libation on day 8, because that's how he feels. That's where it starts. You do the water ritual on the 8th day. And you say Masha Baruch on the 8th day. So he couldn't be the author of the Mishnah, right? Because he believes, because the Mishnah says 7 days of water libation. And that's not him. And if it's Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra, who learned that from Scripture, that the water libation service starts on day 2, well, then the Mishnah should have said 6 days, because then that would be consistent. If Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra is the author of the Mishnah in Sukkah, and we know that he's on record as saying that you start the water libation service on day 2, then the Mishnah in Sukkah should have reflected that, but it doesn't. The Mishnah in Sukkah explicitly says 7 days. Now, that could be Rabbi Eliezer. By anybody's estimation, Rabbi Eliezer could be the author of the Mishnah. And because that's so obviously true, that follows Rabbi Eliezer's opinion, he's not even mentioned. It's very funny. Now, seriously, it's very funny. Because on the one hand, he's really the only game in town. Out of the four rabbis, he is the one and only out of the four whose opinion seems to match glot, smooth, with the Mishnah in Sukkah. He really, seriously, it does. He's of the opinion that you start Masha Baruch on day 1. Presumably, he would say you start the water libation on day 1. And if that's true, then that absolutely aligns with the Mishnah in Sukkah, which said you do the water libation all 7 days. To me, that's Rabbi Eliezer stark, clear-cut, strong. It's Rabbi Eliezer. But for the rabbis of the Talmud, of course that could be Rabbi Eliezer. It's not even a question. Of course that seems to be a shita. And they're not even, therefore, proposing it, because it's just so obvious. They want to explore who among the other three rabbis could that Mishnah and Sukkah be aligning with. And I'm thinking to myself, what do we care? I mean, if it doesn't reconcile with our three rabbis, if that Mishnah in Sukkah doesn't reconcile itself with our three here in Tyus, who cares? So what? You already have Rabbi Eliezer. Isn't that good enough? And the answer is no. No, it's not good enough. We're going to try to see if we can somehow put a square peg into a round hole and make it so that some other rabbi among the three can also maybe agree with the Mishnah in Sukkah. I'm thinking to myself, I don't even see the necessity of this. Personally, as I'm learning it, I'm thinking to myself, I don't see why we're doing this. It's an exercise in frustration. Why? Why are we doing this? And I don't know what to say. I'm just not sure. I don't have a better answer than I'm not sure. But we're trying our best to find another rabbi who'll go along with the program. Okay, my son says it's also Torah. Right. Right. Okay. Very good. Let's try to put that square peg in a round hole. Here we go. You remember we read this in on Wednesday. I'll keep it in English. Oh, let me just say, Rabbi Ben Becerra, let me just remind you. He learned some scripture that the water libation service starts on day two. So then if that's the case, then the Mishnah should have said that you do the water libation service for 6 days, because that would reconcile with Rabbi Ben Becerra. That would stem. That would make some sense. He says you started on day two, and therefore the Mishnah should have said that you do the thing, the water libation, for 6 days. Then that would be great. But it doesn't say that in the Mishnah in Sukkah. It's a 7 day. So we still don't have a full reconciliation between any of these three rabbis and our Mishnah, the Mishnah in Sukkah. So now we're going to try to give an answer. Okay, there was a statement of law. Remember, the water libation service is 7 days. And the question is, whose opinion is that? Maybe that's an informational question in a way. We're just trying to figure out who's who at this point. Could that rabbi be the author of the Mishnah over there in Sukkah? That might be an informational question. And here's an attempted answer to figure out that informational question. Maybe it's one of the three. Maybe we can figure out a way to argue that it's one of the three. Here's an attempt. Actually, it is Rabbi Ben Becerra who authored that Mishnah. Okay? And you can resolve the disparity that I mentioned a moment ago. Because Rabbi Ben Becerra says you start doing the water libation on day two. So then you only get, if you're going to just take it all the way through the end of Sukkot, so then do the math, you only get like 6 days. He starts in on the first day of Chol HaMoed in Israel. First day of Chol HaMoed is our second day of the holiday. It's our, that's our second, you know, stringent day in the diaspora. So for Rabbi Ben Becerra, they're going to try to argue that he is the author of the Mishnah in Sukkah. How could that be? There's a disparity between that Mishnah in Sukkah and his belief over here in Tainus. And maybe we can resolve it, says the Talmud, by proposing that he agrees with the opinion of another rabbi, Rabbi Yehuda. They share a name, but they're distinguished by one is Rabbi Ben Becerra, and he's the main player right now on stage with us. But maybe Rabbi Yehuda Ben Becerra agrees with his buddy, Rabbi Yehuda, in a different Mishnah. A different Mishnah in Sukkah is going to shed light on our problem. Because in a different Mishnah in Sukkah, what does it say over there? We learned in a Mishnah in Sukkah, another Mishnah, plain Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda Stam. What does he say? The Kohen would pour the water libations with a vessel that held a lug all 8 days of the festival, meaning the water libation services continue through Shmini Atzeres. Now you're asking me, wait a second. How could that solve anything? How could he be agreeing with his fellow Rabbi Yehuda? Rabbi Yehuda Stam, the plain Rabbi Yehuda, in that second Mishnah that we're being introduced to, it says that you do this 8 days, and the other Mishnah said 7 days? So where's the reconciliation available there anyway? I mean, what is going on over here? 8 days. And that makes you think 7 days Sukkot, and then into the eighth and final day, Shmini Atzeres. Because what choice do you have? It has to be that. If the Mishnah, if that new Mishnah we're being introduced to, says that the Kohen would pour water libations all 8 days, so then what else could it be? 7 days of Sukkot plus the 8th day of Shmini Atzeres. But what is going on over here? The other Mishnah in Sukkot said 7 days and 7 days only. And Yehuda Ben Becerra said, you do this whole ritual starting on day two. Starting on day two. So what, not all 7 days and not all 8 days. So how could it possibly be that our Rabbi Yehuda Ben Becerra is agreeing with this new Rabbi Yehuda and this new Mishnah? I don't see any agreement anywhere, personally. I mean, as you're learning this, you say to yourself, this is ridiculously confusing. I mean, if you're not confused, you're not paying attention. How in the world can you reconcile anything anywhere anymore? Rabbi Yehuda Ben Becerra, he agrees with the Mishnah in Sukkah, maybe because it says 7 days, and how could it be? I mean, here's the, again, we're in the middle of trying to attempt to reconcile Rabbi Yehuda Ben Becerra and his opinion that you start saying things on day two, and maybe he's the author of the first Mishnah in Sukkah because he agrees with the Rabbi Yehuda, and it's another Mishnah in Sukkah. I mean, if you're not, like I said, if you're not completely, if I blunge it, Yiddish, if you're not completely confused, then you're not You're not paying attention. It's very funny that way. Okay, we're going to try our best to reconcile these two Rabbi Yehudas somehow. Now, unlike Rabbi Yehuda of this Mishnah, of the second Mishnah of Rabbi Yehuda Stam, unlike Rabbi Yehuda Stam, our Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira excludes the first day of Sukkot from the water libation service because he derives from Scripture that it does not commence until the second day. So Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira, who's of the opinion that you do the water libation service for starting on day two, clearly he's cutting out day one. We all know that. Okay? However, in agreement with this new Rabbi Yehuda Stam, this plain old Rabbi Yehuda of this newest mission that we're being introduced to, he will agree that you do include the eighth day. How about that? This new Rabbi Yehuda Stam, he authors a Mishnah in Sukkah that says that the water ritual goes on 8 days, all 7 days of Sukkot, plus the day of Shmini Atzeres. Is it possible for our Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira to go along with that? Well, let's figure this out. Our Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira says you should start doing the water ritual starting on day two. And the Mishnah in Sukkah, the first one that we talked about, said the water ritual is 7 days. So could that be Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira? And the answer is, yeah, quite possibly yes. For Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira, you start the water ritual on day two of Sukkot. And you take it, according to this, all the way through to the end of Sukkot. And then also tack on Shmini Atzeres. You do it then as well. Could very well be that our Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira would then be saying, do the math, 6 days of Sukkot plus 1 day of Shmini Atzeres in agreement with Rabbi Yehuda Stam, that new Mishnah. And therefore, 6 plus 1 is 7. And therefore, it therefore could be that Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira could be the author of the first Mishnah, which explicitly says you do the ritual for only 7 days. It does not agree with Rabbi Yehuda Stam, who said 8 days. But the Mishnah, which says 7 days, now that you think about it, could be our Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira, who says you start the whole ritual on day two. And according to this, theoretically, you carry it all the way forward, all the way through Sukkot, and into Shmini Atzeres. So 6 days of Sukkot, plus 1 day of Shmini Atzeres, 6 plus 1 is 7. And now, in theory, Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira could indeed be the author of the Mishnah in Sukkot, which says you do the water libation 7 days. How about that? Isn't that great? In theory, it could be him. We're trying to figure out who's the author of that first Mishnah in Sukkot, which says 7 days. Answer? Maybe Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira, because 6 plus 1 is 7. He could go along with that. Maybe he agrees with Rabbi Yehuda Stam that you do the water libation service even on Shmini Atzeres. If that's true, then maybe he is the author. Maybe he could be the author of that Mishnah, which said you do the water libation service for 7 days. Okay? And now, that was an attempted answer. And now that I explained it, I'm hoping that that makes some sense and that you agree with me that in theory, he theoretically could be the author of the Mishnah, which says 7 days, Nisach HaMayim, water libation, which would be tomorrow. You got to agree that 6 plus 1 is 7, and that in theory, he could be the author of that Mishnah. That's all I'm asking you to agree to. But the Talmud says, nah, we don't like that. And here's why the Talmud doesn't like it. Here's an answer. Well, here's an attack question on that attempted answer, the attempt to reconcile Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira and this Mishnah in Sukkah. Here's an attack question. And here's fresh material. Umayshno Rishon Delo. Why does Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira rule that the water libation service is not performed on day one? Remember he said it starts on day two. Umayshno Rishon Delo. Why does he feel that on day one you don't do it? Why does he insist that you start doing the water libation service starting on day two? Why does he feel like that? Tachir Mize Mayim, it's because, if you remember this, we talked about this allusion, this reference to the word Mayim. There was an extra letter Mem, and there was an extra letter Yud, and there was an extra letter Mem, and that spells Mayim, and therefore, since it spells Mayim, therefore whatever. Okay, let's read this. Tachibim mizeh mayim, because when Scripture quietly alludes to the water libation service by adding the letters mem and yud and mem, bashini hu diramizeh, the allusion, the reference, the very subtle, quiet reference, where you see an extra letter mem in one word, an extra letter yud in a different word, an extra letter mem in a third word, and you put those extra letters together and they spell mayim, and they spell water. So when Scripture is alluding to the water libation service with the, those extra letters, which mean the word mayim, asheni hu diramizeh, it's in the passage of the second day of Sukkot. The first part of this allusion, the first letter, mem, of the word mayim, mem, yud, mem, the first part of that allusion appears in the pasuk of the second day of Sukkot. Therefore, the first day is excluded. That's his feeling. Because the first letter, mem, is coming up in the verse that's talking about day two of Sukkot. So therefore, for Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra, day one, yeah, sorry, you don't start the water ritual on day one. You only start on day two because that's when the allusion to the water ritual service begins, on day two, in the Scripture, in the Bible itself. So therefore, day one is out. Everything starts on day two. That's his feeling. Shmini Nami. But by the same logic, says the attack question, the eighth day should also be excluded. Because Tiramize Mayim Bashvihu Diramize. Because when it comes to that three-letter, you know, allusion, Mem, Yud, and Mem, it starts on day two in the Bible, and it ends on day seven in the Bible. Day two gives you the extra letter Mem. Then there's a yud floating around somewhere. Then on day seven is the last extra letter mem. So you see it concludes on day seven. So you see if it concludes on day seven, then it's not going to be done on the eighth day, on Shmini Atzeres. So that excludes the day, the eighth day. So if it excludes, according to your logic, oh, you know why you're starting on day two? Because that's from the first letter of this cute little drush that we did, the mem yud mem drush. The first letter mem comes up on day two. Really? Oh, and you find that very compelling. Well, if you find it compelling that day two kicks things off because the first letter mem starts on day two, then you'd have to agree that the last letter mem that is on day seven. You have to be consistent. If you think it's important that on day two you see the first letter mem, and that's why day one is excluded. So then on day seven, it concludes. This allusion, this drush, is concluded by day seven. The last letter mem shows up on day seven. And that should exclude the eighth day. Shmini Atzeres. By your own logic, it should be like that. You got to be consistent. So then it should only be the days of Sukkot. And therefore, Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra will not be able to look to the day of Shmini Atzeres for the final capstone seventh day. And if he cannot bring in Shmini Atzeres, according to this attack question, he shouldn't be able to bring in Shmini Atzeres because the Mayim Mem Yud Mem, you know, allusion, this reference to Mem Yud Mem, which spells Mayim, which hints to you that we do a water libation service, so that it's concluded by the eighth day. If it's concluded by the eighth day, he doesn't have the eighth day to be able to factor in. So it doesn't become 6 + 1 = 7. He therefore cannot be the author of the Mishnah in Sukkah, which said that you do the ritual for 7 days, because he's stuck with 6 days now. Excuse me. Get it? He will not be able to add number one to six. There'll be no one to add to six. It'll be 0 + 6. Therefore, he won't be able to be the author of the Mishnah, which says 7 days. He's stuck with 6 days. According to your own logic, it's like that. And if that's his logic, he's stuck with it. He can't have Shmini Atzeres. He cannot have Shmini Atzeres to add on to the 6 days of Sukkot for water ritual. Then you never get to 6 + 1 = 7. Therefore, he cannot be the author of that Mishnah, which says 7 days. Attack question. Pretty good one. So therefore, Yehuda ben Becerra, he cannot agree with Yehuda that the water libation, plain Yehuda Stam, who feels he's doing 8 days, Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra cannot agree to that, according to this attack question. Pretty good one. And such a good one that it crushes our hope that it's Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra who's the author of the Mishnah over there in the first Mishnah of Sukkah. The reason Ben Becerra can therefore not be the author of that Mishnah. So therefore, who could it be? Says the Talmud as an answer, maybe it's Rabbi Yehoshua. Stop. What do you mean Rabbi Yehoshua? Rabbi Yehoshua says, you begin to mention rain, you say Mashiv Ruach on the eighth day, on the day known as Shmini Atzeres. So how in the world, if he's wedded to the idea that Mashiv Ruach, that prayer, that declaration of fact, is wedded to when you start doing the water ritual libation, because there's this idea that they're wedded together, so how could it be Rabbi Yehoshua, who's the author of the Mishnah, which says you do the water libation 7 days? According to our understanding, according to our assumptions, Rabbi Yehoshua, who says you should say Mashiv Ruach on day 8 on Shmini Atzeres, theoretically, that would be the one and only day that you do the water ritual. He's reduced to 1 day. How could he be the author of our Mishnah in Sukkah, which says you do the water ritual, Nisach HaMayim, 7 days? If according to him, you say Mashiv Ruach on day 8, Shmini Atzeres, therefore, presumably, that's the one and only day that you do Nisach HaMayim. So if that's the one and only day you do Nisach HaMayim, according to Yeshua, how could he be the author of a Mishnah in Sukkah, which says you do it 7 days? He personally feels you only do it 1 day. If he feels you only do it 1 day, 1 is not equal 7. So how could he be the author of the Mishnah in Sukkah? He cannot be. That's my thinking. Says the Talmud, oh, you silly. Don't think like that. No. Open up your brain, Plotzi, and think broader. Here, listen to the answer. Listen to the answer that the Talmud is going to give. That it could be Rabbi Yehoshua is the author of that Mishnah in Sukkah. Even though he feels you should start saying Mashiv Ruach on day 8, and therefore we thought that is related to and wedded to when you start doing this Nisach HaMayim, the answer is not so fast. Your assumptions are all wrong. Listen to this answer. Rabbi Yehoshua, but the truth is, Rabbi Yehoshua is the author of that Mishnah over there in Sukkah. Although Rabbi Yehoshua holds that we do not mention Mashiv Ruach, that declaration of fact, you make the wind blow, you make the rain fall, it's called the Gevurah Geshamim, the powers of rain. But Yeshua says we don't start saying that as a people until Shmini Atzeres. That's his opinion. Still, he concedes that the water libations are performed earlier, even though he feels that you start saying Mashiv Ruach only on Shmini Atzeres on day 8, that therefore, he could, according to this, he will agree to you that they're not wedded the way we thought they were. We thought that they were mamish, husband and wife, that when you start saying Mashiv Ruach, that's when you do the water libation. On day 2, you say Mashiv Ruach, then you start saying this, you start doing the water libation on day 2. Oh, Rabbi Akiva, when do you start saying it on day 6? Oh, so if you say Mashiv Ruach on day 6, that's when you do water libation on day 6. That's what we're always thinking. That they're wedded together like ham and eggs. That they go together like hand and glove. And the answer is absolutely not. That was wrong thinking. Rabbi Yehoshua could tell you, I want you to say Mashiv Ruach on day 8. And we'll turn around and we'll say, tell us, Rabbi, when should we start doing the water libations? And he'll say, day 1. And we'll go, aren't they wedded together? Don't they move together in precision? Answer, no, they don't. They're two separate things. One is you say a prayer. Another one is you do a ritual. Two different things. And they're not necessarily wedded together at all. The Yehuda will agree to you that the water libations are performed earlier. So the Sechamayim called Shiva. Hilchos Segimile. Because it's a halacha Moshe Mishinai. It is a law given by God to Moses at Sinai. That's what it is. That's what that term means. Halacha Moshe Mishinai, there's no discussion. We don't have much in the way of chit-chat about it and rabbinical give and take and argumentation. Halacha Moshe Mishinai, God gives a halacha to Moshe at Sinai. You start the water libations on day 1, and that is that. and there's nothing to talk about, and has done all seven, presumably all 7 days of Sukkot. That's what the Mishnah would mean in Sukkah. Kol Shiva, all seven. And it's a halacha l'Moshe Mi-Sinai. It is a law received in the chain of tradition from Sinai, that Nisach HaMayim, that the water libation services, Kol Shiva, are performed all 7 days of Sukkot, not on Shmini Atzeres. So Rabbi Yeshua could still be the author of the Mishnah in Sukkah, even though he feels that you start saying Marsha Vruchim on Shmini Atzeres. It's got nothing to do with anything. In fact, when you start saying Marsha Vruchim, has no relationship whatsoever to when you should start doing the Nisach HaMayim. Because the Mishnah in Sukkah is Halacha L'Moshe Mi-Sinai. It's a law from Moses at Sinai. We've gone through a lot of rigmarole over here to come down to this reality. How come that was not quoted to us at the very, very beginning of this whole thing? Who could be author of the Mishnah be? The answer is God. God says you do it all 7 days. Halacha L'Moshe Mi-Sinai. Why wasn't that the answer given? I don't know. I just don't know. Mendel will tell you, Yagel Torah V'Yadya. We're trying our best to learn more Torah. Maybe it's this rabbi's opinion. You wouldn't have had all this give and take if it would have just been black letter law. And when do we start doing this? Ramayim? Halacha L'Moshe Mi-Sinai. It's when you start doing the water ritual. Oh, it's a law from Moses at Sinai. All 7 days. Very black letter. It would be done in about 5 words. 10 words max. And where would the give and take be? Where would the discussion be? So you see this value in that give and take, even though it seems that the Talmud always knew from the get-go that it was Halacha L'Moshe Mi-Sinai. I'll read you a footnote. The Talmud retreats from its previous position that Rabbi Yeshua derives his ruling on the mention of rain from the commencement date of the water libation. The Talmud now holds that according to Rabbi Yeshua, the water libations begin on the first day of Sukkot, but because rain on Sukkot is a sign of God's displeasure, the mention of rain is postponed until the 8th day. Nobody wants rain on Sukkot. We want it after Shmini Atzeres. Therefore, the mention of rain is postponed until the 8th day. But that's got nothing to do with the water libation service. That is done all 7 days of Sukkot, and that is Halacha L'Moshe Mi-Sinai, a law that God gave Moses at Sinai, not to be debated. See, even Rabbi Yeshua feels that the Nisach HaMayim, water ritual, libation service, is done on the first day of Sukkot, all 7 days of Sukkot. The fact that he wants you to make a declaration on the 8th day, what's that got to do with Nisach HaMayim, with water libation? Got nothing to do with it. The footnote continues, the Gemara does not attribute the Mishnah to Rabbi Eliezer, which we thought, you know, earlier today, we thought that that would be the most sensible man to attribute it to. He rules that you begin to mention rain on the first day of Sukkot. And the reason why we don't attribute that mission to Rabbi Eliezer is because the viability of such a proposal was never in doubt. It was always the case that he could have been the author. We're just trying to figure out if anybody else could have been the author. Okay? And I'll finish the footnote. The Gemara does not attribute the mission to Rabbi Eliezer because the viability of such a proposal was never in doubt. Rather, the Talmud suggests that the Mishnah is reflective of the view of Rabbi Yehoshua in order to inform us that even Rabbi Yehoshua, who delays the mention of rain until the 8th day, possibly concedes that the water libations begin on the first day. This is in contrast to the rulings of Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra, which cannot possibly be reconciled with that of the Mishnah. All right? I'm hoping that this is making sense. And now we're going to mop up and call it a day. Dama Rabbi Ami, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Ami said the name of Rabbi Yochanan. Yishim Rabbi Nechunya, Ish Bikat Beit Chortan, who said the name of Rabbi Nechunya, a resident of the Valley of Beit Chortan. Eser Netios, is the ruling that you're allowed to plow a field in which there are 10 saplings to every base saw, and the area needed for sowing a seah of barley is 2,500 square amos. Okay, and that whole issue, it's a Shemitah thing. And by the way, we discussed it way, way, way back at the beginning of Moed Katan. Who remembers that? I know I don't. Moed Katan 3b to 4a. Wow, that was a long time ago. Okay, this whole discussion. There's a prohibition against plowing fields during the 30-day period that precedes the Shemitah year. Moed Katan discusses that explicitly, and we learned it over there. Okay, good thing we're reviewing that. So, again, according to Rabbi Ami, in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, in the name of Rabbi Nechunya, there is a law that one is permitted to plow a field in which there are 10 saplings to every base saw during the 30 days that precede the Shemitah year. That's an exception. And then Arava, there's a willow ceremony carried out in the base of Mikdash on Sukkos. Okay? According to some, willow branches were stood up against the sides of the altar, and the Kohanim would encircle the altar, carrying the lulav and esrog and the four species. Others say, no, the Kohanim encircled the altar, carrying willow branches, and these branches were then stood up around the altar. However, it went down. Okay? And Nisach HaMayim, and the performance of the water libation service throughout the 7 days of Sukkos, Halacha L'Moshe Mi-Sinai. All these particular laws were ordained by God, given over to Moshe at Sinai, and they're not to be debated. There's no discussion. You are allowed to plow a field in which there are 10 saplings to every base saw during the 30 days that precede Shemitah year. Normally, you cannot do any plowing 30 days before Shemitah year, but here is an exception where you can. The willow ceremony carried out in the base of Mikdash. And finally, this Chamayim, all 7 days. These are instances, these are examples of Halacha L'Moshe Mi-Sinai, law, the law given by God to Moses at Sinai that we don't discuss, we don't debate it, there's nothing, we don't throw it out. It is what it is, Halacha L'Moshe Mi-Sinai, it's sacred, and we do it, and there's almost no, there's no discussion about it, even though we just had a discussion about it. There's no further discussion because of the Halacha L'Moshe Mi-Sinai. That's what we do. The law is all 7 days. Shine. That's it. And this is a good place to stop, both in the give and take of the Talmud and also time-wise. So I want to thank everybody for showing up today. Biggest shikach. We did move the needle down the page, which is good. I want to thank everybody for showing up. Hopefully it's clear. We wind up declaring that it's Halacha L'Moshe Mi-Sinai, and it doesn't belong to anybody. It's nobody's opinion, but God's opinion. Okay, he's the author of the Mishnah. The Almighty is the author of that Mishnah, which is very, very encouraging. It's very comforting. Wishing everybody a great Shabbos. Nachamu. Everybody enjoy. If you're single, hopefully you'll find somebody great this Shabbos. Okay, and if you're happily married, remain happily married. Everybody have a great Shabbos and a great weekend, and God willing, we're going to do a Midrash Pesach. I got to get on the road to Chicago. So I'm just letting everybody know that if we start out late, it's going to be a very painful round trip for me that day. It's a very long trip in its way. So I'm thinking about starting the class a little bit earlier than usual. I'll let everybody know. Let me talk to people over Shabbos and find out if we can pull that off. Should we start 8:45 or should we start 9:45? To be determined. And I'll let people know. We'll send out an email to the website, to the Sheer Enjoyment. And those who come live to the class, we'll talk it over Shabbos, and we'll figure it out. But if you start a little bit earlier, that's pretty good. I'll be able to get on the road earlier. Wishing everybody a great day. Zayitz Gezeit. Kol Tov. Have a good Shabbos. All the best. Bye-bye.